Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. She and her husband, Zach, have 9 children, ages 22 to 1 month. She is the founder and CEO of ChooseLife.com and the inventor of the Excuse-Proof Rosary Bracelet. She's also the author of The Way of the Rosary, A Journey with Mary Through Scripture, Liturgy, and Life. Her name, Shannon Wendt, and we're honored to have her as our guest for Mother's Day. I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a fantastic lady, a mom of 9, Shannon Wendt. Shannon, welcome. What an honor.
Thank you so much for having me. Really glad to be here, Jack.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Sure, I would love to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, we give you this time that we have together. We ask you to guide our conversation, enlighten our minds. We pray for all those who will listen to this conversation. I ask that you highlight any parts of this that will be fruitful for their lives. Blessed Mother, I thank you so much for your true motherhood for each one of us. We pray that you continue to guide us and lead us deeper and deeper into the heart of your Son. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. She was born in Texas but raised in Grand Rapids by her mom. Shannon, talk about your childhood, please.
Yeah, thanks. We were just, so when my mom was born Catholic and received some of her sacraments when she was younger, and her family, in kind of the tumult of the 70s, fell away from the church and into the New Age movement. So when I was born, we really didn't have any faith to speak of, but it always was something that I innately knew to be true. I knew who Jesus was even before I knew his name. My mom, when we moved back to Michigan, had her own reconversion back to the faith, and she pulled my sister and I from the public school and put us in the local Catholic school. And that was really kind of the first place that I really learned about who Jesus was. And I remember, even as a little second grader, sitting in religion class or whatever it was and thinking like, oh yeah, I know him. I just didn't know his name yet. And we, as a family, just really, I think we were kind of just, unfortunately, like typical Christmas Easter Catholics for many years. Even though my mom had a very profound reconversion, we still struggled as a family to really take it to heart and really take our faith seriously. And so then it wasn't until I was in junior high that I really wanted to go to the youth group. And that's where I really began to take my faith as my own through, you know, junior high and, of course, high school. Our youth group in high school was really, really beautiful, really just an incredible formation. And I really learned what it really meant to have a real personal relationship with Jesus as my beloved, like not just somebody I know about, but somebody who I could really know and somebody who really wanted to know me and to be a real part of my life. And at this point, I knew about Our Lady, and a big part of my mom's conversion was Our Lady, and we prayed the rosary as a family occasionally, and I still really struggled to understand Mary as a mother until I was a little bit older and really starting to experience some of the difficulties of motherhood myself. And so, you know, as far as childhood goes, that was kind of my journey of faith. And, you know, other than that, our childhood was typical 90s childhood with just lots of fun, lots of outdoors camping and just beautiful time as, you know, our little family spent time together.
Speaking of relationships, you're in college and you meet Mr. Wonderful, Zach Wendt. Tell us about Zach.
Yeah, thank you. So we actually knew each other since I started youth group in junior high. He's a couple years older than me. So actually, I think my first summer of junior high youth group, he was in high school and he was like on the leadership team helping to lead our junior high youth group. So that was the first time I met him. But he was a couple years older and always the popular guy. So we were never super close in high school. And it wasn't until college, we both went to Aquinas, that he finally began to see me in a different light. we kind of joke. I was a little bit like the annoying little sister throughout high school. And then in college, Zach was actually in the seminary at the time, and he and I had a mutual friend, and our mutual friend developed feelings for me, and he, this friend, thought he had a prophetic dream from the Lord telling him that he was supposed to marry me. And so this friend was telling Zach about the dream and about how wonderful I was and how much he thought. And like this friend and I, like, this friend was not on my radar at all. And so he's just spilling his heart to Zach about how wonderful I am, how much he, you know, thinks he's going to marry me and all of that. And thought that Zach, his seminary friend, was like a safe guy to share all of that with. But got Zach's wheels turning. He's like, oh, huh. He's right. And so after that friend revealed his feelings to me and I said, no, thanks. Then Zach started to kind of pursue me, and we were at this time on the core team leading the high school youth group as part of the leadership team, and we were working on getting ready for a retreat together. And it's the night before the retreat, and there's so much preparation that still needs to happen, and kind of one by one the other team members were kind of dipping out, and it was by the end of the night, late in the evening, it was just Zach and I left to put together this kind of elaborate setup that somebody had contrived for the praise and worship band. And we're trying to put this whole thing together, and I'm trying to make small talk, and so I ask him, how's seminary going? And he says, oh, I think I'm going to be leaving. There's a girl. And so nosy me spent the better part of the weekend trying to figure out who the girl was, and turns out it was me.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. A wise old grandmother once told me, Shannon, that a man chases a woman until she catches him. No truer words were ever stated. They got married in 2002. 24 years later, they're the parents of 9, aged 22 to 1 month. And I'm Jack Rizzullo, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rizzullo. We're with Shannon Wendt, the mother of 9. Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson, in 1914, made an official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that would be held each year on the second Sunday of May. Shannon, Webster's defines mother as a woman who conceives, gives birth to, or raises and nurtures a child. You're the mom of 9. To you, what's a mom?
Oh, man, what a big question. I think, you know, a mother is really the heartbeat of a family. And really early in our marriage, before our first daughter was born, just as, you know, we're trying to kind of figure this out and figure out roles and understand, you know, what the church teaches about it and who we are as these, you know, becoming new people, spouses and soon to be parents. And my husband and I were going for a hike along the dunes one day. And I had this really beautiful moment that really seemed, you know, it was so profound. I knew that it was kind of a snapshot of what life would be. And my husband had set the course. He picked, you know, the place that we were going to go. And he was kind of leading the hike, like leading our little, you know, wandering through the dunes. He knew where we were headed. He had this spot in mind. And he was directing us there. But as we were walking and talking, I was the one that was kind of like steering us around the roots and the little holes and the, you know, divots and things that were like right in front of us. And I thought, what a beautiful image of motherhood and fatherhood, of spousal love and really the relationship between a husband and a wife through life. And that really, I think, is what a mother does. Like, a father provides the path, the guidance, the leadership. And it's a mom's job to kind of navigate the family around the roots and the pitfalls and, you know, all the little things. And, you know, I think in a, you know, to step away from the analogy a bit, in the home, it's so important, a mother's role, to understand kind of the pulse and the feeling and the heart of the family and be the one that communicates that to, you know, of course, the husband, the father, but then to the other members, and to be the one that helps everybody to very much, like, you know, be of one mind and one heart. And, you know, if the husband is the one that sets the vision and the values, the mom is the one that, you know, is kind of continually reminding and pointing everybody back to that and reminding us and being the, really the heart. I just keep coming back to that. I think, you know, the emotional side of it for sure is, you know, the very feminine aspect of what we do, but even helping the male members of our family to develop that sense of love, that sense of like listening and like heart to heart conversations and relationships.
We're talking to Shannon Wynn. If you want to learn more, www.choosechewslife.com. I've heard it said that life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. Shannon, the whole world can mock you, cheat you, write you off, ignore you, but your mom will always believe in you, always be there for you. Why so?
I think when someone spends 9 or 10 months as close to your heart as our children do, it just creates a relationship and a bond that is irreplaceable. And I think, in, you know, in thinking about our relationship with Mary and why we look to her as a mother and understanding her relationship with Jesus, that Jesus spent the first part of his life listening to her heartbeat and knowing that more than anything else, it helps us to understand we're going to emulate Christ. If that's our goal, to be Christ-like, then it really would mean to also love his mother in the way that he did and to know her in the way that he did. And the love of a mother and that relationship is something that is unparalleled. You know, certainly, you know, we're called to leave our father and mother and cling to our spouses, and that becomes the most important relationship in our adult lives. But that relationship with our mother, even though it takes a back seat to the marriage relationship, nothing replaces that. And having that real, honest, like look or that person who can really know you and kind of hold up a mirror a lot of times, I think, is what moms can do for their kids. I think that's essential. And I think, you know, it's so difficult. It's difficult because we live in such a broken world and we have ideals about the kind of mother that we want to be or the kind of mother that we want to have. And being imperfect people, you know, nobody ever lives up to that. But understanding the true motherhood of Our Lady, knowing what it really should be, what it can be, and then having grace in our broken relationships, I think really helps us to have the kind of fruit, relationships that bear fruit in our lives when we come to it with that kind of understanding.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. The late, great Dr. Robert Schuller once said, "The biggest thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mom." Shannon, why so?
Yeah, that was something, and this came from a beautiful couple, actually more than one. Like this, in our youth group, there were college-age students that Zach and I soon became that were helping to lead, but we also had adults that were part of that core team. And they were incredible examples. Both Zach and I I grew up with a single mom, and Zach's family was very small, and there, you know, in his extended family, a lot of brokenness. And so neither of us had really phenomenal examples of what marriage should really look like.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt, the mother of nine, age 22 to 1 month. After she had four children, she had three miscarriages in the span of 11 months. When we come back, we'll talk about that journey. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasulo. We're with Shannon Wendt. If you want to learn more, www.choosechewslife.com. Shannon, you have four children. Then you have three miscarriages in 11 months. You said, "Jack, for 15 months, I was very mad at God." You've actually had eight miscarriages. Talk about how you got through that.
You know, I mentioned growing up in youth group and our faith being the thing that really brought my husband and I together. But, you know, maybe just a part of being young, we had a pretty, immature level of faith. Neither of us had really gone through any real suffering in our lives. And so when we really encountered suffering, we didn't know how to handle it. We have kind of like an intellectual idea, you know, of course, something that we talked about and read about and, you know, heard other people talk about, like offering it up and redemptive suffering. But when we really came face to face with that, for each of us, we, instead of suffering well, really became just angry at the Lord. And as you mentioned, for me, I spent about a year and a half really putting the Lord at arm's length. I had this sort of a prayer, like agreement that I, you know, kind of set with the Lord that I wasn't going to leave the faith. And I still, even in this dark season, I didn't lose my faith entirely. I still believed that God was God, the church was true, that the Bible was God's word. But somehow it just like didn't apply to me, that God chose to kind of exempt me from his promises. And so this bargain that I made with the Lord was like, I'm going to keep doing the right things. We'll go to Mass. I'll raise my kids Catholic. But you and I, we don't have to talk. And your end of the bargain is, after I do all the right things for the rest of my life, you just let me into heaven at the end so that I can see the little ones that I just ached so deeply to hold. And what this really led to was just this dark spiral of depression and anger. It didn't help anything. I thought that, maybe God was the problem. And by kind of pushing him out of my life, that I'd be able to get myself together and kind of figure things out and be okay on my own. But really, when I isolated myself from the Lord, like cut myself off from the vine, I just spiraled into a deeper depression. And after a while, I started to have this, at first, just kind of a nudge towards praying the daily rosary. It was something that I was in the habit of doing through high school and college. And when the kids came and life got busy and noisy, it was something that I just kind of like put on the shelf for some vague day in the future when life would be easier. Within a week of that very snarky, hardly a prayer, the Lord inspired the design of the rosary bracelets that we have at Choose Life that literally solved every single one of the excuses that I gave him. That's why we call it the excuse-proof rosary, because I think, those were my excuses, but we all have different reasons, excuses about why we don't pray as much as we should. And so I had this rosary bracelet. It's on hand. I keep it right, obviously, on my wrist, so it's always right there and reminds me to pray. It's sturdy so my kids don't break it. And then the movable crucifix charm on it works like a little bookmark. So what I began to be able to do was to use the quiet moments that were spread throughout my day to pray little by little. And that was like the beginning of a relationship, and that's what really began to turn the tide for me after this incredible season of loss and depression, being able to lean into relationship there through the rosary, ultimately changed my life.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. She's the inventor of the excuse-proof rosary bracelet. If you want to learn more, www.choosechewslife.com. We all share a mother, our Heavenly Mother, the Blessed Virgin, and you have phenomenal love, devotion to her and the rosary. Tell us about our Heavenly Mother.
Yeah. As I mentioned, when I was younger, I struggled to really understand Mary as a mother, understand like our need. Like, why did we need to have Mary in our lives? I had, a wonderful earthly mother that I had a great relationship with, and I really loved the Lord, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Trinity, the Father. Like, all of that felt to me like I've got no need. Like, I didn't need anything else. So I really knew about Mary and didn't ever really begin a relationship with her. And it wasn't until this time in my life, when I began praying the rosary, that I really began to understand Mary as a mother. I was so angry at the Lord, but Mary wasn't the one that I was angry at. So it was easy at this point in my life to say yes to the rosary and to let her in, because she wasn't the one that I was mad at. And so I did, I did just that. When I began praying the rosary using the rosary bracelet that I created and praying little by little using my bookmark charm to kind of keep track as I went, I had no faith that it was actually going to work. But it was easy to say yes to Mary. She wasn't, she wasn't the one that I was angry at. She was so gentle. And what began to happen in my life was just this slow return and this slow healing. And as a mother, that's what she does best. She comes in her beautiful and gentle way and binds up our wounds and, kind of brings us to the help that we need. And that's what she did for me in my life. Just, the right doctors, the right medical care that I needed, beautiful friends who had suffered really well, all of these different, the right people at the right time, and just this slow journey that she led me on of healing and ultimately back to the heart of her son. That's what Mary does. That's her role. She really is a guide. And in there's a letter that came out of the Vatican this fall, Mater Populi Fidelis, and one of the names in there that they highlight for Our Lady is Hodegetria, which means she who guides the way. And I love that name, you know, of course, because it's a nod to the book, which was, I didn't know that name when I wrote the book, so it was kind of a cool, like, this God moment that that came together. But really, for us to understand Mary as not somebody that, you know, takes the place or, you know, takes our attention away from the Lord, but really is somebody who continually just guides us through all the ups and downs and all the pitfalls of our lives. It's like, you know, we were kind of talking about that analogy of like husband and wife earlier. The Lord is the one that sets our course. He's the one that we follow. And Mary is kind of the one who comes right alongside us, walking this way with us, which is, you know, the way of the cross through the valley of tears. And that really, you know, the way of the rosary, that's why I named the book that. Because our life becomes this way of the rosary as we walk through the mysteries of Christ's life with Our Lady, as we're praying through really the mysteries, walking through the mysteries of our own life, our lives become this way of the rosary. And Our Lady is helping us to navigate the roots and the holes and the pitfalls and the turns in all these little ways, bringing the right people into our lives, pointing us towards, you know, the things that we need. And every single step of this journey, every season, every storm, everything, leading us closer and deeper to the heart of her Son.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Shannon Wendt. If you want to learn more, www.choosechewslife.com. She's the mother of nine, ages 22 to 1 month. She's also had 8 miscarriages. Shannon, when you meet our Heavenly Father, and there's 8 little angels right there calling you mom. You said earlier, "I just want to hold them." What are you going to say to them, Shannon?
You know, I think in that moment there are no words. But now, at this point, even before we get to heaven, the beautiful thing about being Catholic is that actually instead of angels, my children are saints in heaven. They're a powerful part of the communion of saints that we can have a relationship with today on earth. And even for my kids, and you know, my earthly kids, we all know that these eight siblings of theirs up in heaven are real powerful intercessors for us today. And so very often when, you know, we have a particular need or we're praying for somebody that we know who's suffering, or even kind of struggles and the ups and downs of family life, we ask our saints, our family saints, to pray for us and to bring these intentions to the Lamb. And that's exactly what the entire communion of saints does. But of course, these ones who, you know, love us particularly well, and someday, Lord willing, when I get to heaven and we can all be together, I just, you know, I can't imagine what it will be like to just finally, you know, our whole family to be together, to just see all of them, all 17, standing there together, you know, plus, you know, all the future grandkids, like everybody, like having that communion of saints, having that understanding of where we're going, I think makes all the difference in navigating the difficulties of life. It's hard. This life is hard. And when we really understand what we're aiming at, what our end goal is, it puts all of it in perspective and allows us to suffer well and to understand kind of the meaning of it all.
Okay, Shannon. You mentioned the eight miscarriages, Jack, there are eight saints. God has also blessed you with an earthly saint here. His name is Zach Wendt. We ain't going there, Shannon. Zach, we ain't going there. That's for another show. Okay.
Yeah.
As a listener, Shannon, I admire you. Wow. I'm not Catholic. And I don't understand, you Catholics have this unbelievable love and devotion to a woman. She was an earthly woman. She was a 14-year-old girl, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand that, Shannon. Why do you have this love and devotion to another human being, woman?
You know, I think because Christ did, first of all, like we love her because Christ did. And truly, she's nothing without him. Mary is nothing to us if she doesn't lead us closer to her son. And I think for all of us, no matter our faith or our walk in life, we all have different people throughout our lives that guide us towards the truth, that help us to understand deeper who we are, why we were put here on this earth. And we can point to earthly people who are flawed and imperfect and broken, and you know, that they still are able to do beautiful things in the lives of those that they touch. But for Our Lady, you know, as Christians, we know that when we die, we don't just, you know, fade away, we're not gone. We become, in heaven, more alive than we ever were on earth. And we're perfected along with Christ. And so knowing that Our Lady is not dead, she's more alive than any, you know, possible guide I could have on earth. And she's perfected now. And Christ has given her certain graces of his to share with us. And in those graces, she is allowed by the power of God to be that mother, to be who she was on earth, but in a beautiful and perfected way from heaven, to be our mother, to guide us to the heart of her son. She doesn't do anything other than that. She doesn't bring glory to herself. We don't love and honor Mary for the sake of Mary, but we love and honor Mary because she's the one on earth who knew Christ the best. And that's all she does, is lead us continually deeper into the, you know, into his sacred heart.
We're talking to Shannon Wendt. She's the author of The Way of the Rosary, a journey with Mary through scripture, liturgy, and life. She's also the mom of nine. Okay, the same person. You Catholics with this rosary, you know, you got these five decades, you got these bunch of beads. One day you say the five joyful mysteries, then the glorious, the sorrowful. It's the same Our Father, 10 of these Hail Marys, repeated five times. I don't get it.
Right. And yeah, doesn't scripture tell us, you know, warn us against vain repetition? You know, that's kind of the common argument that I hear against the rosary. And my response is always, yeah, do not pray in vain. Don't repeat yourself in vain. If you're repeating even these scriptural prayers, the Our Father and the Hail Marys come directly out of scripture. Even if we're repeating scripture for vanity's sake, that's horrible. Like, that's not good for us. That's not what the Lord is calling us to. But what the rosary does, these beautiful scriptural prayers of the Our Father and the Hail Mary become this beautiful kind of background music that, like music when you're studying, helps you to focus. And what we're focusing on are the mysteries of the life of Christ. The mysteries of the central part of the rosary.
Shannon, as our time winds down, can you lead us in a closing prayer on this Mother's Day weekend?
Absolutely. Blessed Mother, continue to be a guide for us through the ups and downs, through all the mysteries, the good, the bad, the ugly of our days. Lead us through all of it, deeper and deeper into the heart, the sacred heart of your Son, our beloved. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, be with all of our mothers, whether they're living or past, and be with Shannon, Zach, and their nine children. Thank you very, very much. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.